Tom Carkle in the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. AccuWeather forecast calling for a mixture of clouds and sun today, a chance for some showers, maybe even a thunderstorm, and a high around 72. Kenosha right now, 57 degrees, 51 in Burlington. In Milwaukee, 57, also 57 degrees in Racine. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave and Segway Racine have announced a temporary winter homeless shelter site on the second floor of the former Lincoln Lutheran building on Dominick Drive, which currently houses United Way of Racine County, and would accept people struggling with drug and alcohol-related issues, something Racine's Halo facility does not. Speaking to the county's Finance and Human Resources Committee, Executive Delagrave said that a $40,000 grant to the faith-based group will cover rent and utilities from November through March and take care of a critical need because past available hotel vouchers are gone and a long-term plan isn't quite ready yet.
The county is only as strong as its nonprofits and faith-based entities. And ultimately, if we don't have a low-barrier shelter, these individuals are going to fall upon the county to take care of in a much more expensive way. Ultimately, the county's not in the business of duplicating services. The county's not in the business of really running a homeless shelter. But what we are in the business is of taking care of those who are in need.
He noted this used to be Lincoln Lutheran space for addiction treatment. 10 to 30 homeless people could be housed each night and says it's a little better and less costly alternative. Pastor Warren Williams of Living Faith Lutheran Church, the co-founder of Segway Racine, said it's a large enough space to handle the anticipated need this winter, and they have already found a coordinator. The Finance and Human Resources Committee supporting the one-time grant to Segway for the short-term lease of that site, possible full board approval later this month. A neighborhood watch meeting near that site will be held this Saturday at 10 a.m. Police in Racine doing what's being called a death investigation. A news release says a person of interest, though, is being questioned. Police called to the Sunshine Market at 1559 Taylor Avenue yesterday morning. A body was found at the back of the building. Identity of the victim has not been released. Sergeant Anna Malacara says no other information is available yet on what is an active investigation. But anybody who might have some information is urged to contact Racine Police, the Investigations Unit, or Crime Stoppers of Racine County. In Racine County Circuit Court, Christian Locanegru, who was convicted in the hatchet attack on his estranged wife nearly 2 years ago, got a mandatory life prison term from Judge Eugene Gasakevich, who also decided to make the 40-year-old Illinois defendant eligible for release after 30 years, saying that he couldn't bring himself to deprive someone of any hope. The victim, Roxana Abradan, who had been staying at the home of her employer, Michael Enns. He spoke for nearly an hour, pleading for the maximum penalty. Assistant DA Trish Hansen afterwards said Enns was disappointed, still blaming himself for what happened to his employee, whom he also called his friend.
He was home the night this happened, and I think he's struggling the most with the fact that he feels as though he failed her. I think he's disappointed because he didn't believe Roxana had the opportunity for hope, and he didn't feel that Mr. Locanegru deserved that. Roxana Abradan did everything we ask women to do. She did everything she could to protect herself within the law.
Both Hansen and Judge Gasakevich, during his sentencing comments, said they believe there was nothing else that could have been done to prevent the murder, Hansen describing the defendant as a classic domestic violence perpetrator with a track record of abusing women. A former corrections officer at the Ellsworth facility in Union Grove, now facing 3 counts of second-degree sexual assault by a corrections staffer, plus 7 counts of felony bail jumping for allegedly having contact with the inmate named in the original complaint. 46-year-old Catherine Rakow charged in August with having sexual contact with the inmate while working there at the prison, ordered to have no contact with the woman. Court documents indicate that she and the alleged victim have spoken now to each other over the phone 88 times since that no-contact order, and that didn't include multiple letters exchanged by the two. In court, Rakow again told to have no contact with the inmate. He'll be on house arrest if she posts bond and is released from jail. She'll be back in court October the 12th. A former Racine Unified substitute teacher charged earlier this year with child enticement, sexual assault, and exposing a child to harmful materials, now facing a bail jumping charge for allegedly trying to contact one of the victims in the earlier case. As a condition of bond in either case, the man was ordered to have no contact with the alleged victims. Court records indicate that one of those victims received an email from someone who claimed to know the man in question. Mount Pleasant Police investigator, pretending to be the alleged victim, began an email exchange with that person, eventually setting up a phone number for him to be called. It's alleged the man left a voicemail message for the victim. The investigator said he recognized the voice from earlier contacts. In Kenosha, improving the delivery of mental health services a top priority in the budget delivery for the Racine and Kenosha County boards this week. County Executive Jonathan Delagrave, County Executive Jim Cruiser, respectively, outlining proposals, giving annual budget messages. Cruiser proposing a move to expand a crisis care center for folks with mental health or substance abuse issues. He wants to buy a building just east of the State Corrections Department on 60th Street. Center is going to be operated by Kenosha Human Services Department. Director Byron Wright says that the move would give the center a much larger, more visible location.
We want an identified site in Kenosha where law enforcement, the general citizens in the town, we want everybody to know that if somebody's experiencing a mental health crisis, they can come to 1202 60th Street, where the care center will be in the rear of the building. Crisis will be in the front.
Says it would also allow the center to serve more people and those with disabilities. Meanwhile, Jonathan Delagrave looking to consolidate mental health services by creating a campus of buildings anchored by the Dennis Cornwell Center off Taylor Avenue. The immediate future of Racine County's Ridgewood Care Center could become a little more clear tonight after members of both the Executive and Health and Human Development Committees meet in closed session to interview officials from three Illinois firms with the best offers to purchase the nursing home.
We're allotting an hour for a presentation and questions and answers to three different potential buyers. And it'll begin at 5 o'clock, and then it's anticipated that there'll be some closed session deliberation after the third one is interviewed to discuss all of the potential buyer candidates.
Corporation Counsel John Lehman telling WRJN News there will likely be a wide variety of questions, given this issue is of such importance. The timeline, subject to change, indicates a recommendation could be made after the meeting tonight that would start the process of negotiation. A final county board vote would not take place until around December 20th. Village of Mount Pleasant has scheduled a public information meeting October the 11th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Village Hall regarding what's new with Lake Michigan Bluff erosion and what happens next, if anything. Higher than usual water levels on Lake Michigan, of course, strong waves, unstable bluffs, all accelerating the erosion that's been mainly affecting residents in the Lake Park neighborhood. Among the agencies expected to have representatives at the meeting, the Army Corps of Engineers, the DNR, Coastal Management Program, Sea Grant Institute, and Wisconsin Emergency Management, plus local officials. The candidates in the 63rd Assembly District faced off during a debate last night at Case High School, each outlining why they ought to be elected in November. Democrat Andy Mitchell, Republican incumbent Robin Voss answering a variety of questions at the gathering sponsored by the local chapter of the American Association of University Women. One of the questions, the current shortfall in the state's transportation budget. Mitchell saying one solution would be to adjust the cost of registering a vehicle.
I don't understand why car tags are the same whether I'm buying a 15-year-old rust bucket or a $200,000 sports car. I think car tags could be registrations, vehicle registrations could be a tiered level, and we could also be making to encouraging people to buy certain types of fuel efficient vehicles or whatever.
Boss indicated the answer to the shortfall will not be found by looking at just one department.
But I don't think that just looking for waste inside the state agency is ever going to come close to figuring out how we pay for transportation. We have to keep all options on the table. And that's why my hope is by beginning the process of educating citizens around the state, we can have a better discussion.
The candidates also fielded questions about refinancing student loans, changes to election laws, and partisanship in state politics. Meanwhile, the election just over a month away, and the candidates in the 66th Assembly District talked about the issues for about an hour on WRJN's Community Conversations. That included the ongoing heroin epidemic. Libertarian George Meyer said that people need to be responsible for their lives.
The more irresponsible you are, the worse you're going to do, and the more you turn over to government to deal with it instead of yourself, the worse society is going to get. We've just seen it in too many examples throughout history, as a matter of fact, not just in current time.
Democratic incumbent Corey Mason said government needs to be smarter in dealing with this important issue.
And I think if you look at other societies who also look at it as a public health crisis and give people services to get themselves off of those drugs and the negative effects that they may have on themselves and the rest of society, that you have far greater success.
The two also talking about voter ID, transportation issues, and government in general. WRJN.com, that is our newscast, and we keep them in the local news section on our webpage, WRJN.com, throughout the day, any time of the day or night. Check it out. At WRJN News is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.